Hi, Dan. It's good to see you again.
Great to be here.
Look, so much has happened over the weekend. We left Friday with a split coalition. Now they're back together. How did that happen? Was it a series of furious meetings?
It's a great question. So if we take ourselves back to Friday, David Littleproud and Susan Lee were negotiating to reunite the coalition. But at that stage, the talks were more or less on the brink of collapse, and they had been on the brink of collapse for a couple of days. There was quite a bit of distance between what the Liberals were prepared to accept and what the Nationals were prepared to accept. So when I left for work on Friday afternoon, I think when most people left for work on Friday afternoon, we were expecting some announcement on Saturday or Sunday, but we were expecting that announcement to be Susan Lee cutting the cord, saying, this just isn't working. I'm going to push ahead, announce a Liberal-only ministry and really go it alone. But things changed on Saturday. There were further talks between the two leaders, and they ultimately agreed on a resolution that was ultimately announced on Sunday to bring the two parties back together. We can get into the detail of exactly what was agreed. And then Lee and Littleproud stood up together in Canberra on Sunday afternoon. Now, they had been more or less a kind of political war over the preceding 3 weeks. Of course, David Littleproud had said in the immediate aftermath of the split that triggered all of this that the Nationals couldn't sit in a shadow ministry under Susan Lee, that the coalition was untenable. But there they were, both leaders standing next to each other saying, it's all in the past, let's move on in the future, the coalition is back together.
Well, that's exactly right. David Littleproud said, we cannot be part of a shadow ministry under Susan Lee when they split up. So what changed politically so that they could now reunite? What are the details here?
So there's a couple of points to make, and I think there has been, and I suspect there will continue to be some rewriting of history, some walking back from statements, some reframing of things that were said at the time that perhaps they didn't mean to say. On that specific point, so it's correct that in the immediate aftermath of the split, the entire Nationals front bench quit the shadow ministry. David Littleproud comes out and says it's untenable under Susan Lee. Now, he has said subsequently, and he said again yesterday, that comment was specifically in the context of if Susan Lee won't immediately reinstate the three senators that crossed the floor, if she's refusing to do that, then that is untenable. Now, there'll be debate about whether or not he is trying to rewrite history, but that's his explanation. Now, in terms of how they got here, there are so many different forces at play, so many different competing pressures that I think led us to this outcome. So the two parties have obviously been together for a very long time. It's a political alliance that has been an alliance of convenience. They've been able to form government. They're unable to form government without being together. So what we saw in the period between the splits was a kind of realization from senior people on both sides that they needed to try and patch things up. Now, and I think this is a critical point that we'll get to when we talk about Susan Lee's leadership, is that view was not uniform, particularly among the Liberals. There were Liberals that were keen to spend some time away from the Nationals, that they've seen the Nationals behave in a way, front run on policies. They've seen the way that the Nationals are increasingly concerned about fending off the threat of one nation. And they just thought, we don't need to be in a coalition with these guys, at least in the short term. So we reached a situation last week where there were these competing pressures. And ultimately, I think the people advocating for a reunion, the people that thought it is best for us to be together, and they included people like John Howard, senior conservatives, including Angus Taylor, James Patterson, ultimately they won the day in terms of the argument.
just before we get onto the leadership, was the urgency also because of those scenes in Parliament where Labor just teased them mercilessly last week over the fact that they were sitting separately?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, one of the problems with them not talking to each other over there is that his mate over there just asked the same question.
That's right.
essentially the same question,
order.
Mr. Speaker.
The only cost of living issue they're interested in talking about is the cost of living with each other.
That's right.
That's what they're interested in, Mr. Speaker.
I can't hear you back there.
Yeah, it was, and a senior Conservative used this phrase yesterday. He said it was a circus, both just the optics of having the Conservative side of politics split, literally sitting separately, but also in the mechanics of Parliament. We had a couple of votes in Parliament. There was one on the beer tax, for instance, where the Nationals split from the Liberals. There was a vote, or the Liberals attempted to kick the Nationals off a whole bunch of parliamentary committees. So they were constantly, through the sort of routine business of Parliament, example after example of these two one-time political allies basically kind of at war with one another. And that was just 1 week. And you can imagine that was going to continue week after week after week after week. So certainly those MPs that were advocating for a reunion, that was a big part of the argument, that we have become a laughingstock, that our supporters, you know, and MPs have said this to me, when they go back to their electorate, we're walking down the street and people are just saying, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah.
So that was part of the argument, is to get back together to at least have the facade of unity.
Certainly those divisions were really on full display. Susan Lee, though, has now got the coalition back together. But ironically, it's meant a leadership challenge is more likely. Can you just explain how that works?
Yeah, I think Susan Lee, throughout the entirety of her leadership, has faced no-win scenario after no-win scenario. It's almost as though there's nothing that she can do that helps her. You know, we saw it on net zero. She made the decision to dump net zero and it pleased the Conservatives, but it angered the moderates. And she was always going to face that kind of no-win scenario on whether to reform the coalition. And one of the kind of ironies of this is that whilst people like Angus Taylor have been pushing to reform the coalition, the fact that Susan Lee has agreed to do that might ultimately prove to be one of, and I do think this is just one of the triggers that is used to justify removing her. So if we kind of unpack that statement, so Susan Lee won the leadership against Angus Taylor back in May of 2025 with a broad coalition of MPs from the moderate faction and the centre-right faction and the unaligned MPs. And the group of people that are most aggrieved about this decision to get back with the Nationals come from that coalition of MPs that supported her. So what Susan Lee now faces a scenario is not only will the Conservatives back Angus Taylor, but she risks losing the support of the very people who are propping up her leadership. And now you add in that factor coupled with the quite horrendous news poll that was published in The Australian on Monday morning showing the coalition whose primary vote is just 18%. These are all factors that, taken together in the mind of many MPs I'm speaking to you on Monday morning, has made Susan Lee's leadership untenable.
So it's going to be really difficult for her to survive. When will a leadership challenge happen? Will it definitely happen? What can we say about that?
So speaking to you on Monday morning, nothing has been announced. So if we kind of work through the way that these things play out, so a leadership challenge would need to be conducted at a party room meeting. There would need to be a motion to spill the leadership, and then there would need to be a leadership challenge. Now, at this stage, there is no spill motion that has been announced. Angus Taylor has not come out publicly and said he wants to challenge for the leadership. He's a member of Shadow Cabinet, so he would need to resign his position before he does that. So none of those things at this stage have happened, but there is the growing expectation, to the point of a growing sense of inevitability, that it will happen at some point this week, that Angus Taylor will resign from Shadow Cabinet, that there will be a spill motion put and he will challenge Susan Lee. In terms of the timing, it's a bit of a difficult week for a leadership challenge here in Canberra because of Senate estimates. So all of the senators are preoccupied holding the government to account. And so that makes it a little bit tricky, but there is the sense that at some point this week that there will be a challenge to Susan Lee's leadership.
So when, not if, is essentially where we sit at the moment. You mentioned that new news poll that has come out. I know Jean Hume described it as we are now at irrelevance. And I wonder what that means for the political forces on the coalition. The pressure from One Nation has the Nationals responding by moving further to the right. Have any of those issues been resolved?
No, quite frankly. And I spoke to an MP yesterday who made the observation that by the Liberals rejoining with the Nationals, they're essentially rejoining a coalition that their primary function is to try and repel One Nation, that has become the major preoccupation. And we've seen One Nation's vote steadily grow. It was only 6% at the election, but we've just seen poll after poll. It's steadily increased. But the increase really since the Bondi massacre in the middle of February, it has just gone through the roof. And the news poll numbers were quite extraordinary, a 9 percentage point gap between the coalition and One Nation. And I mean, there's two ways that the Liberal Party and the coalition can try and resolve this. One is you say, we're going to chart our own path. We'll let One Nation do the things. We'll let them talk about immigration. We'll let them talk about net zero. Or, and I suspect this is probably the likely outcome, they attempt to chase One Nation to try and wrestle back those voters that have fled. And the outcome of that is it's going to create, if we think about politics on kind of a spectrum, create this enormous space in the, not just the centre right, but the middle ground and the centre left for Labor to just consolidate power as the conservative parties push themselves further to the right in pursuit of One Nation.
So if they push themselves further to the right and the Liberals have to go to the right as well, despite whether all members want to do that, could that mean, are analysts saying that this reunification could be short-lived and the coalition might just split up again because of those forces?
I think it's entirely possible. I mean, David Littleproud was asked that very question yesterday. Can you guarantee there won't be another fracture under this leadership? Now, that was the caveat that was put on the question, assuming the two leaders, himself and Lee, are still there. And he said, no, there will be no more splits. Now, as part of this deal to reunite the coalition, they've, what they're saying, codified a few things around their internal processes to make sure that we don't see another split of this nature again. But I think there are bigger forces at play. There are, I mean, the word existential crisis has been used, and I think it is apt. I don't think at this stage it is hyperbole to suggest that the situation they're dealing with is existential and that the pressures that have pulled the Liberals and Nationals apart for years, for decades, but they've been able to keep it together because there is the prospect of being able to govern. They've had differences for a very long time, primarily about climate. But now when the prospect of being able to be in power seems so far away, those threads that have held together have torn, and I do genuinely think it is probably only a matter of time before we do see another fracture, and perhaps this time it'll be permanent.
We'll be right back. Just briefly, Dan, before we go, while Susan Lee remains in the Liberal leadership, she has to work with David Littleproud. There's lots of speculation that they don't really get on. What is their relationship right now?
well, we saw them appearing at a press conference together, and they were happy and they were smiling, and they both said that they trust each other. Look, I mean, I personally don't know. I haven't sat down in a room and seen the way that they've engaged with one another, but I think it's quite apparent there has been the most extreme tension that can be between two leaders of coalition parties. You know, there were reports that haven't been denied by David Littleproud that in the immediate aftermath of this, that he had phoned Susan Lee and essentially told her to resign. You know, having spoken to dozens of MPs, both in the Liberals and Nationals over the past 3 weeks, that the types of language that has been used to describe MPs on the other side, to describe the relationship between Lee and Littleproud, have been quite venomous, to be honest. So they are presenting the appearance of unity, presenting the appearance of two leaders that get along and that want to focus on the Australian voters. And I'm sure that's what they would like to be able to do. But I don't really think that they are, you know, the electorate is pretty savvy. And I think they're seeing right through this.
Dan, thank you so much for taking us through the latest in politics.
It's my pleasure.
That was Chief Political Correspondent Dan Jervis-Vardy. You can read more of Dan's work at theguardian.com, and we'll link to his recent column on the Full Story page. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria, with sound design and mixing by Joe Koning. The executive producer was Hannah Parks. It's going to be a bumper week for Full Story this week. The Newsroom Edition and Back-to-Back Barrys will both be back in your feeds. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story. You can also leave a review.